Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. That music, I'm disturbed about something, and well, not so much, yeah, disturbed. So over the weekend, I'm designing the YouTube studio, okay, which is a pretty interesting event, but it's exciting. Yeah, the lighting showed up yesterday. So Colleen and I are in the garage taking pictures of Colleen holding Jack and Joe. And I don't really know what I'm doing yet relative to things like lighting and stuff like that. But the pictures were awesome. Colleen was laughing. She goes, "Dad, this is like something out of a photography studio, and it's just her and I clowning around." So anyway, so I'm in the midst of doing that over the weekend, and on Saturday I was in my backyard most of the day cleaning and tidying things up and stuff like that. And but in my head, I'm disturbed about the direction of the country, and I don't understand how the country gets to where it is. So I'm thinking about that. And in my head is the George Floyd thing. And what I've come to understand is that in the video, there's the... I have to close my binder, so excuse me. So there's stuff going on in the video that we don't understand. And that I've never seen anybody come out and explain it. And I don't understand that. So there's this thing called excited delirium. And so I was watching excited delirium videos on, you know, I don't know what I was watching, probably Saturday. And so the more I begin to understand about what that is and what EMTs and firefighters and police officers face when they go out to do their jobs, and probably the police more than anybody, truth be told, because the EMTs, they'll just leave. They're like, "We can't do our job when that's going on." And what you have is a person who's normally on some kind of drug cocktail, and, for lack of a better term, losing their mind. And, I mean, you've seen videos of people like this, right? And they have, you know, superhuman strength, supposedly. So I called a friend of mine who's in law enforcement, and I said, hey, man, explain this to me. And he goes, oh, shit. He said, it's a nightmare. He said, you know, you train to spot it. You get trained on how to spot it. At the police academies now, we do, you know, we do what you would call PMEs about it. And, but when you tie in with somebody who's got this rage thing fueled by drugs, he said, it's scary. He said, and I'm telling, I don't care if it's a man or a woman. He said, it's scary. And so, I said, so correct me if I'm wrong. In that video, in that awful video of Derek Chauvin, they're reacting by the book to how you deal with somebody. He said, yes. I said, okay. I said, forgive me, but let me just walk the dog on this. The restraint is using the knee to the neck. It's not blocking his airways. He said, no. He said, he's talking, for God's sakes. He said, so it's deliberately done like that. So you're trying to restrain them, right, using a pressure point, but you're not doing any physiological damage to them. He said, but, he said, the video's awful, right? I said, yeah. He said, okay, so what's going on inside his body is reacting, in his case, to the fentanyl and the meth. And then he said, and, you know, he's what, positive for COVID-19. He said, so physically, you know, the guy's a disaster. He said, but what plays out on camera is a story for the nation to watch. But what's going on underneath it is a completely different story. I said, okay. Now, he doesn't die of asphyxiation. He said, no, he doesn't. So, I said, so why hasn't anybody held a press conference? Why haven't police unions stood up and said, hey, we've got to tell the story of this, and that our officers out there are facing this stuff on a regular basis. And they did what they were supposed to do, which is restrain the subject, in this case, Mr. Floyd, who had restrained, or who had resisted arrest on, you know, twice, once to get him in the car and originally. So he says, so then when you're there, and the guy, he said, look, the guy's 6'6". He said, now what happens if he breaks free and runs in front of a car and gets killed? He said, so what you're trying your best to do is ride this thing till the ambulance shows up. And people who say, oh, with all those guys, they should have been able to subdue them, have never been involved in it. He said, and if you look at some of these videos, you see these guys, you know, on top of people, and that's what's going on. Somebody's losing their mind, and it takes that many adult, grown men, law enforcement officers on somebody to stop it. He said, and you should see what goes on in jail. So I did. So I started looking. And it's like, to use the Marine Corps, you know, when we go into a room in a building, right, there's this thing called the stack. And that is, it might be four Marines outside the door, and they're getting ready to go in. And when we kick the door, or when the thing goes boom and blows the door open or whatever, everybody goes through. Lead guy goes straight through. Guy on the left goes to the left, you know, looks to the left, muzzle to the left, you know, vision to the left. Third guy goes to the right, or however they do that, right? Or however they do that. So, So that's what essentially goes on in the that's essentially what goes on in jails and prisons across the country. When you have people in jail that are going through this thing called excited delirium. And when you read about it, it says, well, you know, whoever's going through it has a good chance of dying. And the way you deal with it is you restrain them, and then you sedate them, and you get them to a hospital, and you deal with the underlying physical issues. Okay, so I've talked about this, but then, so I'm thinking about it. Okay, so is nobody interested in that story? Why isn't that story out there? Why isn't that story being told? Why is the narrative that the nation has come to accept as fact not true, yet it's accepted as fact across this country? How could that happen? So I'm thinking about that. How the hell does that happen? And in this case, it starts in our, I guess, high schools and universities. Teachers teaching this narrative, believing in it. And then it has to do with the media that won't seek the truth. And then you layer in the cancel culture, that if you were to dare to stand up and say, hey, excuse me, I understand there, Mr. Football player, Mr. Baseball player, Mr. Basketball player, I understand, but do you know the numbers in this case? Do you know the trends in this case? Have you even bothered to look at it? And we know nobody can say that because they would be fired and canceled before they got home. Somebody would record it, somebody would put it on the internet, their editors would see it, collective sucking noise. Oh my God, what is he or she doing? Well, he or she is a reporter, and those are facts, and aren't reporters supposed to ask people when they make statements about the facts relative to their statement? No, God, no, it makes us look like racists. So any attempt that pushes back on this narrative makes you look like a racist? Yes. Don't you know anything about anything? Oh, I thought the truth was important. No, God, no, you idiot. It's not. And so think about that. Think about the educational system in this country helping to sell a narrative that's not true. Now, are there bad cops out there? Yeah, of course. Are there racists in the United States? Yes. But racists and institutional racism are two totally separate things. And you have people that go on television all the time to talk about systemic racism. Where? Show me. Show me. So again, that's been in my head, in that, you know, talk about being concerned for your nation. I mean, think about that, and then so in that thing that happens in Rochester, that video is horrible too, right? So what were they doing? What were they doing with that hood? Oh, they didn't know if he had AIDS. He's spitting on everybody. He's naked in the middle of the street. So he's clearly lost his mind. Is he in excited delirium? Maybe. And so without the footnotes, doesn't make any sense. All right. So I'm doing that on Saturday. And I just So I got done with the phone call, and I don't know where Colleen was. She wasn't around. So I come inside. I flip the TV on. And for whatever reason, it was on a local NBC, the local Los Angeles NBC affiliate. KNBC Los Angeles. And they are doing wall-to-wall coverage of the shooting of two sheriffs who were assigned to the transit detail, which means they hang out at bus stations and shit. Yeah, bus stations. So I sit there and I start watching it. And there, it was amazing how fast the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department got information out. And it happened around 7, and I'm watching probably at 7:45, and they're talking about a lone person walked up, and they've already looked at the video, and they've said that walked up from an angle that the passenger side deputy couldn't see, and then opened fire at very close range, and then took off running. There was no prior incident, just walked up, shot, and ran. So, now they go to, the neighborhood is completely cordoned off. Now they go to the helicopters. Now they go to the hospital. And so, at some point, protesters arrive at the hospital. And they start yelling, death to the police, blah, 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 at the hospital. And it's like, who does that? Somebody's fighting for their life. And again, the female deputy has a 6-year-old son. She's fighting for her life. She was on the passenger side, so she was a foot away from the muzzle when whoever shot. And you're reading that. Now, here's the interesting thing. The Los Angeles Times doesn't even cover that part of the story. And so you're watching this ambush and attempted murder of police officers who were just monitoring a, you know, bus stop, you know, a trolley stop in Los Angeles, murdered or attempted to be murdered. And then you have the city's major publication begin to parse the truth and not report the whole story. And you're just watching it, and it's just, in my opinion, it's gross. It's gross. And so, here's an update to that story, and this is from the LA Times. Two LA County sheriff's deputies expected to survive attack amid intense manhunt for the shooter. In an intense manhunt that is underway for the gunman who was captured firing into their patrol car, the violence has become a new flashpoint in the political debate about policing and crime. Both deputies were shot in the head near the Compton Metro station, but after undergoing surgery were listed in stable condition. That's awesome. The attack sparked widespread outrage from the presidential campaign to the streets of Compton, where residents feared it would heighten already deep tensions between the police and community after several high-profile deputy shootings and the use of force. "It makes no sense," said Satif Capleton, 22, who has lived in Compton nearly all of his life and heard the gunfire Saturday night. "It hurts this community more than anything else. Now, what if someone walks up to a police officer's car and they get scared and shoot that person?" Authorities have offered no motive for the attack. In the security footage obtained by the Los Angeles Times, an extended version of the clip released by the Sheriff's Department, the shooter turns a corner out of the frame, past a second figure lingering on the sidewalk. It's unclear if the second person was involved in the attack. The Sheriff's Department declined to comment, citing an ongoing active investigation. Sheriff Alex Villanueva said Sunday that the deputies surviving the attack and are recovering, a double miracle. One of them is 31 years old, the mother of a 6-year-old boy, and the other a 24-year-old man. Both deputies were sworn into office just 14 months ago in the same academy class. And I'm just scrolling through the story. Back in Compton, Capleton said tensions in the area had reached a boiling point. People are looking to blame somebody for racism. People are looking to blame a cop. But the deputies who were shot, he said, were two innocent people just sitting in their car. It's so stupid. How else can I put it? Now, that whole story, not one mention of protesters showing up. At the hospital saying, you know, death to cops. And so you wonder, newspapers with an agenda don't want to report the whole stories. And I think, you know, what's going on in the universities across this country, I think that's a problem. I think that's a problem. When young people don't have the critical skills to seek the truth, I mean, that's a big problem. And again, all you have to do if you want to know about police shootings of unarmed of all kinds, go to the Washington Post database. Again, no liberal organization. And just peruse by year and look at it. It's all in there. You know, if you're interested in the truth, then you can find it. So to me, to end the opening of the show today, Alex Holling's going to join us here. In about 35 minutes or 40 minutes. To me, what's incredibly troubling is you're watching all of this. And it's all based on videotape where you say, that cop's murdering that guy. When the truth is, as you begin to footnote it, that's not what's going on. But that's what everybody sees. And don't bother me with that other bullshit, McNamara. Well, let me tell you. When those police officers go to trial and they're acquitted, stand by for those riots. So, but again, until we... And this is my point about the lack of leadership in this country. You know, let's have an honest dialogue about race in this country so that we can truly help people that are stuck in the inner cities that can't get out. How do we help them get out? What does it take? What program do we have to create? What do people have to do? And so... But we're not even having that discussion. And so my thoughts over the weekend were, so what are the elements of getting to that place where you won't have? Well, there certainly is a leadership element. There's a media element. And there's a educational element to it, where young people get taught today that your country is racist. Now, which brings me to kind of a second interesting experience over the weekend. Colleen and I, hanging out, I said, okay, let's watch a movie. She said, okay. I said, okay, now, this is now, here we go. What movie? And therein lies the issue. Okay, so here, so I said, okay, how about we do this? It has to have won the Best Picture Award in some year. And she goes, oh, okay. And I said, and one of us nominates three movies and the other one gets to pick from the list of three. And she said, okay. So I nominated, I think, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the movie that was made right after World War II, The Best Years of Our Lives, I think it is, and In the Heat of the Night with Sidney Poitier and Rod Steiger. And so Colleen says, In the Heat of the Night. So we watched In the Heat of the Night. And Sidney Poitier and Rod Steiger are awesome. If you haven't seen that, in fact, that's a great way to select movies because you're going to watch a great movie no matter what. It got me. What got me interested was I watched Lawrence of Arabia last week by myself. And, you know, it was a great movie. And it was, you know, one, you know, I think Best Picture of the Year, and I can't remember what year. And so, anyway, and then, so yesterday, Colleen says, okay, my turn. And I said, okay. And she says, Kramer versus Kramer. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. That's a divorce movie, man. And then I can't remember one other one. And then she said, 12 Years a Slave. And I said, I've never seen 12 Years a Slave. So we watched that. And so then after the movie, we're sitting, we're getting ready to go to bed. And I looked at Colleen and I said, do you think you live in a racist nation? And she said, no. I said, well, I said, you, just for the record, Colleen, you don't. And I said, anybody who travels around the world would be able to tell you that. I said, and it's only people who don't travel that have that perspective, because if you do travel around the world, you'll see what racism is. If you're, you know, if you're my age, you grew up when the N-word was just, it was a noun. It wasn't a racial epithet. It wasn't anything. It was just a noun. It was a word people used. If you want to know what systemic racism is, it's Jim Crow. It's not being able to go to a university. That's systemic racism. And I said, so I would not expect you in a group to stand up because of all the shit you would take. But I expect you to have an informed opinion. And you can sit there in silence like most people do. I said, and maybe if you're comfortable with the people you're with, you know, you should say, hey, look, you know, I want to ask some questions. And I said, but let me just tell you this. You don't live in a racist country. And then she said, but that everybody thinks it is. I said, I know. I said, and that's the problem. People take anecdotal experiences and they say, so the nation's racist. Well, where? Where's the big expose on any one of these networks of racism in America, and where is it? I said, you haven't seen that, have you? She said, I haven't. I said, yeah. That's because the liberals run all these organizations that they're saying are racist. And guess what? They're not. So, anyway, it was an interesting conversation with my daughter. The other interesting thing is building the studio. And learning about lighting, which I'm enjoying, right? Which I'm enjoying. So today we'll build the kind of the, we have the lights done. Those are here. And so that's done. I now have to build kind of the set itself. So I was watching Hollywood set building videos over the weekend, which were actually kind of cool. How do you make something like this and a set and what are the construction techniques and how do they do it and all the rest of that stuff. So we'll do part of that today, which should be exciting. And then we'll get that done and we'll see what happens next. And then it would be film post-traumatic winning. And then after that, begin to film smaller, you know, little 10-minute shots about from trauma to joy. And I've had a number of people submit other names. So if you can find something better than trauma to joy, shoot it to me. And I will consider it. But, yeah, T2J, trauma to joy. See, you could even have T-shirts and hats that had that T2J on it. yeah, your own apparel line. So, I think it's exciting stuff. And what's most exciting, I had two people talk to me over the weekend and say to me, "Do you know the potential of your audience when you stand up that YouTube channel?" I said, "I don't rightly know, but I think it's relatively substantial." And they started laughing. They started laughing. And I said, "So you would agree?" And they'd say, "Yeah, I'd agree. It's substantial." And he said, "Mac, like everybody." And then she said, "Yeah, substantial. That's a good word for it, Mac. Like everybody." So, that's, in my opinion, exciting stuff. And really what it does is it offers the opportunity to reach more people with this, this traumatic wisdom. So, and it's a pretty cool experience. So anyway, I don't know. You know, the press is supposed to be the custodian and the guardian of the institutions that, you know, that ensure our freedom, especially the reporters that work for different organizations. But in our country now, what you have is this incredibly toxic mix of media organizations that believe they should have a say, that their vision of the world should be the way it actually happens. And they believe that they should be able to slant the lens that they present to you, tint the lens, and in that way form the news to their vision of the world. And that's never how that's been, I don't think, envisioned as a democracy. And the other concern is, you know, young people who don't have the critical thinking skills. And again, one of my favorite quotes is Will Costantini's quote. And when he says, "It doesn't survive the second question, and you can't even get to the third one." That's how little there is to this. Yet you see it, right? You see it. And, you know, somebody sent me an email earlier, "Mac, did you watch any of the NFL? You know, I didn't. And honestly, I'm a little bit tired of watching people cram their own personal views. If I want to know what you think, I'll come find out. But again, in the age of social activism, you know, in the age of we're not having it, So I didn't watch any of the NFL yesterday. Yeah, I did not. So I did watch Notre Dame play on Saturday. Actually, I didn't watch that much of that. I was out in the backyard messing around. So anyway, so good morning to you on a Monday. Alex Hollings today, Grant Newsham tomorrow, and I'm not sure about Wednesday. It's one of two different people. So, and then my buddy Greg Lotus, who was on Friday, he'll come back hopefully next Friday. So if you get a chance to listen to Greg, he's an interesting guy, and I'll put the interview up here in a little bit, but on the website. But he's a really interesting guy for a lot of different reasons. Smart, you know, offensive lineman for the New York Jets, and then he blows his knee out. Then his knee gets infected. And he goes from being a professional athlete to a disabled person in this country. Walks with a cane, has walked with a cane ever since, if you can imagine that. And then his wife gets breast cancer. He can't work. They don't have any money. I mean, it's his story is an amazing story. He's now part of, you know, legal history for athletes and doctors and things like that in the country. And but he's a smart guy. He's an interesting guy, funny guy. And you know, we talked about suicide. You know, he talked. You know, he tells a story of, you know, wanting to put a gun in his mouth. And, you know, he said, I'm useless. I can't work. You know, somebody's got to take care of me. You know, he said it was without a doubt the worst time of my life. And so, so he's a great guy to talk to. We were talking about the Matt Kuiker interview and things like that. If you didn't hear the Matt Kuiker interview from last week, if you haven't heard that one, it's one of the best interviews I've ever done. And had nothing to do with me. It's Matt's story, where he is in his life today, his comfort with telling the story, his unbelievable, you know, candor relative to his life. So good morning to you here on a Monday morning, the 14th day of September. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. Dedicated to the two sheriff deputies in Los Angeles who were both shot in the head, who are miraculously still alive. And God bless you for your service to our country. God bless your families. We're all rooting for you. And this is to everybody else who's out looking for the person that did that. Find them in a hurry.
We have fought. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
In Quantico, Virginia, is partly sunny, 75. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is partly sunny, 84. 29 Palms, sunny and 80. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, overcast and 64. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 70. I'm sorry, dark, clear. My mouth said cloudy by habit. Dark, clear, and 70 as the sun gets ready to come up. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 81. And then we head over to Australia, to Darwin in the Northern Territory of Australia. It is clear, dark, and 75. And in Oslo, in Norway, it is partly sunny and 67 degrees. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, it is smoky. What? Yeah, that's what it says. Never seen it in my life before. Smoke. Smoke in 65. Yeah, the smoke's pretty high, though. I can't smell it. You can see there's been soot falling in the backyard. You can see that as it accumulates. Yeah, never seen that before. Smoke and 65 right now. Looking for a high today of 82, 84 tomorrow, 86 on Wednesday, 81 on Thursday, 83 on Friday. So, normally mid-September heat is the last gasp, and then moderate temperatures throughout the rest of the winter. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We come back. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it, we'll check some news headlines, and then Alex Hollings will join us at the top of the hour. Don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming up next.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back. And that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, Reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Go here on a Monday morning. Email. Mac, did you check out the viewership plummeting? In sports in general? I did not, although I've had a number of people tell me about it. And then somebody else sent me something that said people booed after the national anthem because of some of the stuff that went on in Kansas City. So, again, we need to have an honest discussion. And I have to tell you that this kind of stuff that goes on in totalitarian government, in totalitarian countries, suppression of the truth, right? Anyway, to me, it's extremely disturbing. All right, to the news we go. In Stars and Stripes, Taliban attacks continue across Afghanistan as their peace talks begin. So, I mean, so this is odd. My first instinct when I hear that is that that's not the Taliban. Something else. The Taliban staged attacks in more than half of Afghanistan's provinces while they begin peace negotiations with the government over the weekend. The attacks in 18 provinces included an advance in northern Jawzan province Sunday that forced hundreds of people to flee their homes, officials said. Quote, if military support does not arrive soon, the district will fall to the Taliban, the district governor Matatullah Hassan said by phone on Monday. The Afghan Defense Ministry said it was sending help to the embattled district, but could not provide details on injuries and couldn't confirm any death in Jawzan or elsewhere. So then, if this is what your partner is doing, clearly concerted when you see that many attacks across that many provinces, then why are we starting, why are we going to continue down this road? The Afghan Foreign Ministry spokesman says the attacks by the Taliban continue. They still want to continue violence against the people of Afghanistan. The spokesman, last name of Aman, was hopeful the Taliban would curb violence once a long-awaited negotiation began. However, analysts have been more wary, suggesting the group may continue to increase bloodshed to gain leverage at the negotiating table. In other conditions, like the requirement that the Taliban break ties with Al-Qaeda, that has not been met, according to the United Nations. As part of the U.S. Taliban deal, the Taliban have agreed not to attack foreign forces in Afghanistan, but continue to target Afghan forces. The beginning of intra-Afghan peace negotiations was a condition outlined in the deal for Washington to begin lifting sanctions against the group. It also paves the way for a complete withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan by 2021. So, Afghanistan. Not going to end well. The U.S. Embassy to challenge Germany over attempts to tax American troops. I don't understand this. Germany is violating an international treaty when it asks U.S. military personnel to pay taxes in the country, the U.S. Embassy in Berlin said as it jumped into a long-running fiscal dispute that has affected hundreds of U.S. troops and civilians. The U.S. Embassy and military commands are aware of the long-standing issue and are working closely and in concert to address what we believe is a misinterpretation of the NATO Status of Forces Agreement. Embassy spokesman Joseph Giordano Schultz said in a statement this week, the Department of Defense, the Department of State are both engaged and trying to reach resolution. That issue is being tackled at a higher level than German military commands in Germany, which have been unable to resolve it after years of trying. But here's the argument from the German perspective. But some local fiscal offices in Germany maintain they have the right to tax personnel who aren't in the country solely for their job. They have argued that a service member or Defense Department civilian who extends their tours, married a local person, or does anything else that suggests special ties to Germany should be liable for taxes on all military pay they've received while in Germany, including back pay. Benefits such as housing allowances have been factored into tax bills, said tax experts and a German defense attorney who has taken on some military cases. To avoid being taxed, service members and civilians must prove to German authorities a willingness to return to the U.S. But there is no established legal standard that defines what constitutes a willingness to return. I'm not a fan of Germany. The Philippines deports U.S. Marine in a transgender woman's killing. This is former Marine Corps Lance Corporal Joseph Pemberton. He said he was extremely grateful to President Rodrigo Duterte for pardoning him and expressing his most sincere sympathy to the family of Jennifer Laud, whom he was convicted of killing in 2014 after he found out she was a transgender woman in a motel outside the former U.S. Subic Bay Naval Base in Manila. During his 5 years of confinement, Pemberton said he spent much time contemplating the many errors he committed that night. He wished he had the words to express the depth of his sorrow and regret, according to Pemberton's message, which was issued by his lawyer. Philippine immigration officers and American personnel escorted the 25-year-old Marine, who was in handcuffs and wearing a face mask, from his cell in the main military camp in metropolitan Manila to the airport where he boarded a military aircraft. Ahead of the flight, he was subjected to a coronavirus test, which turned out negative. And he left the country. So anyway, that story been in the news for a while. From the Wall Street Journal, Oracle wins the bid for TikTok in U.S. beating Microsoft. Oracle beat out Microsoft in a deal to salvage the U.S. operations of the video sharing app, which has been caught in the middle of a geopolitical standoff between the United States and China. The deal is likely not to be structured as an outright sale, people familiar with the matter said. So, interesting stuff going on relative to data gathering by Chinese software companies. There's an article by the Wall Street Journal editorial board. There's an editorial piece. And it's entitled, "We Hope They Die. Protesters Cheer a Shooting Ambush of Sheriff's Deputies in Los Angeles." No one other than the shooter is responsible for the gunfire ambush Saturday of two Los Angeles County Sheriff's Departments as they sat in their patrol car. But the same can't be said for protesters who blocked the entrance to the hospital where the two were being treated and chanted, "We Hope They Die." The latter is a cultural poison nurtured by the left-wing anti-police movement sweeping country. And I will tell you, and fostered by the nation's media. And fostered by politicians who won't stand up and condemn that shit. The two deputies were ambushed by a gunman in a cowardly fashion in the Compton neighborhood, which Sheriff Alex Villanueva discussed at a press conference. The deputies hadn't been identified by name as we write this, but press reports say a 31-year-old mother and a 25-year-old man both have been with the department for a little bit more than a year. Police haven't identified the subject. We've not seen this before when anti-police fever is hot. A gunman shot and killed two officers in a car in New York in 2014 following the death of a black suspects being arrested in Ferguson, Missouri and in New York. Protests are worse this year following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, and the anti-police violence is more widespread. An officer was stabbed in the neck in Flatbush in New York City in an ambush in June. The officer survived. Democratic Mayor Eric Garcetti called the chants and protests at the hospital unacceptable and abhorrent, but he and other Democrats need to do more to condemn and ostracize the protesters. Democrats may fear the wrath of Black Lives Matter, but the backlash elsewhere in America will be far greater if pleasure at cop killing becomes common on the left. Police reform is impossible amid a war on the police. Mr. Garcetti and other mayors should abandon their cuts to law enforcement budgets and express regular solidarity for cops on the beat. Without such a signal, police will continue to retreat from enforcing the law in crime-ridden neighborhoods, and those who suffer will be the law-abiding in the likes of Compton and Flatbush. It's honestly, it's astounding. So there's a from U.S. Naval Institute News. China exceeds expectations in speed of naval growth. China surpassed every American security planner's expectation in its successful building and deploying of the world's largest maritime fleet in just 20 years, a leading naval strategist said on Wednesday. The question is, now is what Beijing's military and paramilitary will look like in the future. Yeah, if they did that in 20 years, what are they going to look like in the next 20? Toshi Yoshihara, sounds Japanese, is co-author of the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment's new report, Which Way the Dragon? And looking ahead 15 years, the structural difference in 2030 will be when economic headwinds become stiffer. Then China's aging and declining population are likely to force its leadership to make hard choices on balancing defense and domestic spending. I would be interested. I wonder if there's a copy of that. I'd be interested in listening to that. Top story in Marine Corps Times. The top 50 most popular schools for tuition assistance. Do they have the list? If you don't know, tuition assistance is a huge, huge game. Guaranteed federal money, right? Guaranteed federal money. And all you got to do is supply a degree. You got to supply the piece of paper. Number one is American Public Education Incorporated. Ever heard of it? I haven't. It's a for-profit private company. 39,000 students using their tuition assistance there to the tune of $81 million. Number two, University System of Maryland. Number two at $51 million, public entity, 28,000. Number three, Zobio Incorporated out of Chandler, Arizona. Who are they? Emory Riddle is number four. Number five is Central Texas College. Number six, Columbia South Education Group. Number seven, the trustees of Purdue University. Number eight, Liberty University. Number nine, Excelsior College. Number 10, Park University. Some interesting stuff in there, eh? I agree. Who are those organizations? And top five stories in early bird. Number one, Afghan Taliban talks begin in attempts to end their 17 years of bloodshed. Don't count on it. If the attacks in 18 different provinces are any indication of anybody's intent, don't count on it. Number two, Pentagon top general calls out Nazis and communists, jihadis in 9/11 remarks. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, took the opportunity Friday at the Pentagon September 11th remembrance ceremony not only to recognize those who gave their lives during the terror attacks and have since died fighting in their wake, but to share a reminder of what everybody has been fighting for. It was one of General Mark Milley's rare public appearances in recent months after getting caught in a political firestorm while accompanying the president on June 1st for a photo op. Quote, the idea of a free press, free speech, due process, the right to peacefully assemble, demonstrate, and to protest. Those ideas were and still are hated by our enemies, the fascists, Nazis, communists, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, authoritarians, dictators, and tyrants of all kinds. They hate those ideas. They hate those values. I would tell you that a lot of people in this country right now, a free press, I would tell you, I don't see that. Free speech, not sure I see that either. Due process, I think that happens most of the time. The right to peacefully assemble, I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of violence out there when you try to assemble, to demonstrate and to protest. So General Milley out and about. President Trump lauds Medal of Honor recipient for a hostage rescue. Army Sergeant Major Thomas Paine. He's a young looking guy too, man. He doesn't look like a sergeant major. You're not old and broke. Young guy. Ranger. Anyway. Looks good in his new army uniforms. The throwback uniforms, World War II. Yeah. President Trump bestowed the Medal of Honor on the Sergeant Major Friday, calling him one of the bravest men anywhere in the world for his role in a daring 2015 mission to rescue dozens of hostages who were set to be executed by the Islamic State in Iraq. Trump picked September 11th to honor Sergeant Major Thomas Patrick Paine, who negotiated a barrage of enemy gunfire, repeatedly entered a burning building in a harrowing effort that saved more than 70 hostages. The president said Paine, who was in high school on September 11th, and his classmates learned about the attacks on the United States from a teacher who solemnly relayed what happened. Paine grew up in small town America, in Batesville, Leesville, and Lugoff, South Carolina. His wife, Allison, is a nurse. His father, a police officer. His two brothers served in the Army and the Air Force. He is a Ranger. Yeah, I'll tell you what, the Rangers are some of the most professional people I've ever served with in my life. So, yeah, if you ever get a chance to see them in action, pretty impressive. And I mean, just professional across the board, too. Number four, new U.S. Air Force chief has a reputation for only asking for what he needs. He's going to need a lot. Number five, once she was barred from fighter jets, now she's the Pentagon's only female four-star. And the story is about Jacqueline Van Ovest, O-V-O-S-T. She is a U.S. Air Force general, the Air Mobility Command commander. So anyway, story about her. We'll take a break. Hopefully Alex Hollings joins us. I haven't heard from Alex this morning, but normally he's there. So we'll take a break. Alex Hollings next, right here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.